you've seen in your lifetime. A more divine southern rapper would have sweat.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Dr. Keith Presents Show. I am of course your host, Alan, and I have got two other radio show hosts on the line with me to kick off the show this week. The hosts of, I think, my new favorite podcast on the internet, my new favorite wrestling podcast on the internet. We have Tom Green, PCM Thomas from various message boards, and of course, Mike Falcone, who we have had here on the show many times before. Gents, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I haven't really talked to both of you guys until I just signed on here, so I hope the, both of you are doing well.
Yeah, we're
glad to be on. Thanks for having us on, Alan.
No problem. We're going to do a little rapid-fire segment as me and Mike are counting down the minutes to football starting here. So, yeah, we'll probably talk for about half an hour. So the main topic we want to discuss is the Dragon Gate USA Midwest shows. They've kind of snuck up on me a bit. Next weekend out in Chicago and Milwaukee. I figure Chicago's near you, Tom, isn't it? Is Milwaukee anywhere near you? I don't really know my American Midwest geography.
Not really. Chicago's like an hour and a half away. I will not be at the show, though, because UFC's running in Indianapolis that night, and I kind of want to go to the
UFC.
That's
a pretty shitty card, though. It is.
Right? But I went to Dragon Gate in September, so I figure I can go again whenever they come back in 3 years.
In UFC around Dublin, people were like saying, "Oh, it's a pretty shitty card," and I was like, "Fuck you! No, it's an amazing card. I'm really excited." And I was probably lying to myself a little bit, but it was a good show that we got in Dublin. Anyway, before we go off on the tangent about Matt Hughes against Chris Lytle, let us talk about Chris.
That's Matt Serra, by the way, not Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes is fighting BJ Penn. That's my Mike Coughlin coming out in there.
And I actually am going to go off on a little. I just want to ask Chris Lytle. He's an Indianapolis guy, isn't he? So he'll be
Matt Mitrione, the guy that beat Kimbo in Montreal, no both Matt. Indie guys.
No one likes Mitrione, so
they might. I would be surprised if he got booed in Indy.
I think he'll be the biggest fan favorite in the world, even though I hate him. But let's talk DGUSA. As I mentioned, we got these two Midwest shows coming up. Looking at the cards, they're pretty good. I was saying to the guys before we started that I really wasn't that sure of what was on these. I don't know if it was they haven't been promoted well enough or what the deal is, but I probably wasn't going to be able to name too many of these matches before I looked at the cards, and I'm pretty excited about seeing these whenever they may be released. I'm hoping that with the iPay-per-view stuff coming, there's an initiative to kind of get this Dragon Gate USA stuff out sooner, because as we got to talk about a huge flaw, those Canadian shows are still not out on DVD. They happened in early May. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what something I was just thinking about the other day as I was kind of going through, like, stuff I have to watch. And, like, the PWG 7 DVD just came out recently. And that happened at, what was it, I think July 31st. It was the last day of July.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because PWG is kind of known for having their DVDs take a while and people kind of complaining about it. But, I mean, there's these shows that happen in May, and it's September 19th, and they still haven't come out yet, you know, so it's...
Yeah.
That's kind of a problem, especially with the interest of indie wrestling kind of like dwindling, you know, as it is. It's like, you know, there's some, like a lot of matches get like a lot of good buzz, and then if you wait so long to release them, people aren't just going to care anymore because it happened so long ago. People are just going to be getting into something else. You know, it's football season, it's hockey season, you know, whatever. People aren't going to care about shows that happen in May anymore, and people aren't just going to go, oh, well, I'll watch them down the line. People are just going to forget about them entirely.
I'm wondering if there's maybe some problem with these DVDs, because the DGSA, like, it wasn't getting stuff out super quick, but I mean, like, the first couple of shows all came out in a reasonable enough time, probably around two months or so, and these ones were going on, what, start of May to sort of June, July, August, September, we're going on to 5 months here. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
There must be something up.
Well, I hate to speculate about people's personal lives, but didn't that Sal dude, that Sal Humway, wasn't he like going to college to become like a lawyer or something? I figured.
Man. I don't know. That's they have the footage from the that they released the pay per view like aired the Canada pay per view aired like a couple of months ago. So that should be there ready to be
in July.
Like throw on the couple of extras, like really what. There's not that much to do, I wouldn't have thought, but I don't know about this stuff. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't really know how long it takes to produce a DVD, I mean, but... Yeah.
Well, look, I ordered, and I know
Tyrannosaurus Rex came out with the next day, you know. So
yeah, Mike, you ordered as well as me the IWC, the Shima Zion, super indie show that came out. Like, that happened on like a Saturday, and I had that DVD here in Ireland on a Monday of the following, like the week after it happened. Like, that's ridiculous. And I think going to the iPay-per-view, hopefully that works out, because that's obviously the best possible thing to be doing. I'm looking forward to that. But neither of these shows are an iPay-per-view. Which of these ones is the actual pay-per-view taping? Is it Chicago?
I think it's Chicago, because Milwaukee's in the really, not the crappy building, really small building. So okay. I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, the Congress Theater, which I haven't really liked the shows from there that they've done. I think it kind of looks a bit bad.
See, let me interrupt, because I've been to a show in that building. I went to the January show. I think it's Fearless, yeah. Whichever was titled after a Taylor Swift song. But I loved that live, and it did not translate at all to DVD.
Yeah.
Because whatever audio, like whatever the mics on the cameras or whatever's going on with the audio situation, it's terrible. Because that building was like 15 times louder in person than it was on DVD. And like, there's the big moment that stood out to me when translating it from live to DVD is the forearm sequence in that three-way tag. I think it's like Shingo and Noriki Toei, I think, were throwing forearms back and forth. And it sounded like they were swinging baseball bats at each other's heads live. They were hitting each other so hard.
I can relate.
And on the DVD, yeah, and on the DVD, it came off like any two dorks doing generic, I'm going to rip off Japanese wrestling forearms. It made me so sad.
Yeah, but well, hopefully whatever flaws they had there, they'll be able to resolve this time, because this is a good card and there's a lot of matches I'm really looking forward to. The man of the moment, hopefully our guest on the show later, fingers crossed, Ricochet will be taking on Cena in a huge match for him. One of many huge matches he's got coming up, and I think this is a really perfect litmus test for Ricochet to see just where he is at the moment, because if he goes out there and has an all right decent match at SEMA, it's like everyone kind of can do that, so it's not really gonna gather too much of his momentum, or his momentum won't keep really rolling on. But if he goes out and really tears it down with SEMA, which there's a possibility of, then I think Ricochet is the real deal. I wouldn't quite say he's the next Rey Mysterio, as some people would say, but he's definitely doing well for himself.
Yeah, I agree. I think like he's definitely the it guy right now. You know, just at least a little more popular with that four-way happening, I guess, in his Bullet performance. But you know, he's a guy that for the past couple of years, I think we discussed it once on your show previously, Alan, about how he's a guy that, you know, he's done so much, but like I think in order to get to that next level, you know, he needs to maybe take a tour to Japan or something. Maybe this is a good way, you know, to maybe get that going for 2011, because he's really done like a lot, you know, in the indies so far, I think. And like, I think in order to get to that next, like if he is going to start wrestling guys like Cena and stuff like that, you know, it's time for him to, you know, maybe, you know, take that next level, maybe, you know, take a tour to Japan or something.
Yeah, for sure. Tom, what do you think about this match?
I think it's lovely. I was really hoping this was the match they were going to get in Chicago, at least, because, I mean, the styles blend perfectly. Ricochet's going to die on some of those moves that Shima does, I wholeheartedly expect. And, yeah, the Dragon Gate guys, like, they all have this hype for being, like, really fast and flying around really cool. Like, they're almost all of them are shockingly good bases, I've noticed, and Ricochet with a good base is like the best guy in the world. That's why everyone's losing their crap over him and Claudio. Claudio is the best base in the world. I swear he's the best base in the world other than Claudio. Nobody will get me to shut up about that. But no, I think it'll be awesome because you have a guy that can keep up with Ricochet speed-wise, but will also catch him on all of his stuff and make him look very pretty. And I think Ricochet is one of the few guys in America that can keep up with that whole Dragon Gate boom, 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 boom style and out-impress the Dragon Gate crew. So
he's very similar to Jack Evans, I think, before Jack went over to Dragon Gate. They've kind of got that similar, I don't want to say clunky, but kind of not traditional kind of movement around the ring, and combined with just jaw-dropping ability to do just crazy athletic stuff. And with Jack, I think Dragon Gate really helped him kind of smooth out a bit of the, again, I don't want to say clunkiness, but you know what I mean. And he just became so much better. Whereas I think maybe someone like Generico or even the Young Bucks, I think when they went over there, I think they had just the more basic movements around the ring. Kind of, it was more solid with them. Pac, I suppose, could be kind of put in the Jack and Ricochet category a bit as well. And like now, seeing Pac, he's like the smoothest wrestler in the world, apart from like maybe the elite Dragon Gate guys, like maybe a Yoshino. Like Pac was, when people see those UK DVDs that I was at, like people will be raving about Pac after those, if they're not already. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this match. I think it's a really interesting match for Cena. And yeah, it should be a good opener if it is the opener on the show. There's obviously a few guys who have yet to be put in matches, but we'll see what happens. And speaking of, I'll touch on that just quickly. We've got Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor, Gran Akuma, Drake Younger, Brody Lee, and Samurai Del Sol. Now my question is, I thought Brody Lee was going to be coming after a Japanese man, and all the Japanese men have matches. So what's going to be the deal there? Do we think?
There's a large Asian community in Chicago, so I think he's just going to go outside and beat people up. Like, if I were Gabe, that's what I'd do. I'd put a big sandwich board on him and say, if you have slanted eyes, come at me, and he'll fight everybody. That's what he'll do.
Maybe Samurai Del Sol is Japanese. I don't know.
He's not necessarily Japanese, but I'm sure you can pretend. By the way, that dude, I'm telling you, if his match in this show with like somebody decent gets any hype, he will be like the next new darling of the Gabe universe, because I'm telling you, man, this guy's the stuff. I've seen him a couple times. He'll blow your mind.
It's I'd probably prefer if he spelled samurai with an I. The Y thing looks a bit weird, but I just
it's kind of Ray, because he's like Puerto Rican.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty good actually. That's clever. And yeah, I like that name. It's better than
who is that actually, Tom?
It's a guy that does the Chicago area for some reason has more lucha feds than anywhere but like Mexico. There's like six or seven lucha feds there for some reason, and him and this dude named Mr. 450 Hammett like pretty much are like the this will be a reference that maybe we only get the metal maniac Jimmy Snuka of the Chicago lucha indies. Pretty much they wrestle each other everywhere, and they've wrestled each other like hundreds of times, and last time I saw Del Sol was at an IWA Mid-South show in that horrible ring that Ian has with the bouncy loose ropes. And he was doing all this like, amazing springboard stuff that you shouldn't be able to do on ropes that are built on spaghetti. And it was awe-inspiring. And he's pretty impressive for a guy that I don't think anyone outside of like Chicago and like the people that saw him on his one tour of Puerto Rico saw him out of. He's really impressive. I think he'll, if he gets someone like, if I don't even, actually I don't really see a good match for him out of the guys already listed.
I was going to say, like, what if he's the one that ends up fighting Brody Lee and just gets squashed in 2 minutes? Like
that
Rick
would break
Swann,
my heart.
You know?
That would break my heart into a million pieces of sadness and doom.
Well, then we'll move on to a man who, from all his videos, he's been telling us about his broken heart and all his various problems that he's had over recent years. Jimmy Jacobs against a man who didn't even want to discuss Jimmy Jacobs in his most recent promo, John Moxley. This is their second match in DGUSA. They've been feuding pretty much since Jimmy entered the promotion, and I'm hoping that I thought the match they had in Canada was decent. Like, it wasn't that bad. I enjoyed the presence of the random broad at ringside. I would appreciate if she was brought back. And yeah, it was decent. I think they have potential to do even better here. What do you guys think about this match and this feud?
I think Moxley's actually going to have a great weekend because he's going to be fighting Danielson the next night. So hopefully this is just a real good weekend for him. But, you know, about this match, I think those Jacobs promos on YouTube have been fantastic so far. Like, if you told me a couple months ago that I would like anything Jimmy Jacobs has done, you know, is doing right now in 2010, I'd probably think that you were nuts because I've just really soured on the guy. Just, you know, his evolve, you know, his stuff so far in Dragon Gate USA, you know, nothing against him, but I'm just not into him right at the moment. I mean, there's other guys I dig a lot more. And just watching those videos, I just totally become a huge Jimmy Jacobs fan all over again. I mean, I think those videos were great. And this match, I think with Moxley, I think it's going to be stepping up big time. You know, it's running Chicago, that great crowd. And I think they were kind of teasing in that last moment of the third part of the Jacobs video that I guess he wasn't going to do anything in a while. Maybe something about bleeding. Maybe going to do, you know, do like some big bloody street fight like he used to back, you know, in the old Age of the Fall days or something like that. So maybe we'll see something like that. So I think it has a lot of good potential. Yeah.
I think he's going to break at the spike.
I think that'll be really cool, you know. So,
Tom. Yeah, I think he's gonna get the pogo stick from the Jumping Jack Man of War, but that's just me. But I hated the match from Canada on the pay per view, and here's why. Like, if it was on like Evolve, I would be fine with it. But like Dragon Gate, like I know people trash this style for being like full cards, full the same match over and over again, move. But it really shows when you have a match like this on the card where they're just throwing punches, not just throwing punches, but just brawling everywhere or whatever, and it slows down. It really, I don't know, it feels clunky. Like you said about the Ricochet Jack Evans style, it feels clunky where you have all this amazing, you know, Dave Meltzer state-of-the-art type stuff, and then it's surrounding this one match that does not fit whatsoever. It just feels really out of place. And, like, I love John Moxley. I'm the biggest John Moxley fan in the world. He should be involved in stuff like this. But this time match, I don't know. The feel would be a lot better for Evolve, especially with the Jimmy Jacobs promos, but feel very Evolve-y, so to speak. And, I mean, but I will say the one thing, you know, people are giving Jimmy Jacobs a lot of credit for those videos that have come out, and they're really, really good promos or videos or whatever you want to call them. There's a difference between a guy like him and a guy like Chris Hero who does reinvent himself for real, completely. Jimmy, he does these promos and he changes his character every 6 months. He wrestles exactly the same.
Yeah, that's good point.
Maybe I think maybe that's why Jimmy is kind of stale compared to, you know, a Hero or even a Claudio, who he changes his stuff up just enough to he doesn't feel so stale, you know.
Isn't it weird to think like a year ago at this time, like Claudio was just like some dude just on a treadmill going nowhere, and now he's, you know,
the Embassy
awesome.
Feud. Or when he was in the Embassy and feuding with Brent Albright. Ugh. But in fairness, Chris Hero said, I didn't see much of that feud, but it didn't inspire me to check it out. But Hero was saying in his interview that feud kind of was what kicked in the new gear, kicked Claudio into a new gear. So maybe it did have a positive. But
exactly. So maybe Jacobs will, you know, break out from those videos and maybe try and do it. So, you know, who knows?
For sure. So next we move on to a match I'm really excited about, and I'm hoping this is like a sort of 12-13 minute. Like, I don't BB Hulk, I love him, but his singles match in Dragon Gate USA have not lit my world on fire. I don't think he's kind of twigged being a champion and wrestling singles matches for a champion yet. He's kind of he's like, he was in my match of the year. It was a singles match, and it was 5 stars, one of my favorite matches ever, him and Shingo, but it totally was not the type of match BB's wrestling in Dragon Gate USA. He was getting his ass kicked, he was fighting from the bottom, he was being the underdog. That is what BB Hulk is amazing at. These Dragon Gate USA matches against, like, Dragon Kid and Mochizuki to a lesser extent, and what was the other one he had? Yoshino. He was, like, he was just playing the dominant champion, and it just doesn't suit him. And I'm hoping either he kind of clicks as to what kind of would improve that, or they just take the belt off and put it on someone who's more equipped for that, like, say, a Shingo. But BB against Tozawa, if it's kept kind of like 12-13 minutes, I think this could be an electric match that just rocks the place and is really good on pay-per-view. Mike, what you think?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think Tozawa is just, I mean, he's really, like, been, like, the breakout star of this song, because he had a couple really good matches in Chikara for the Young Lions Cup a few weeks ago. Obviously,
oh, you've seen them, have you?
Yeah, I just got the DVDs, and I didn't watch the entire shows. I made sure to at least check out the Tozawa matches. Good friend of the show, Leonard Jakarsson, I was talking to at the one show in Reading. And he said that Tozawa had a great match with Green Ant on the first night of that show, so I went and checked it out. And it was really good. Like, I know you're a big Green Ant fan, I think, 2 times, so, I mean, that's definitely a great match. But getting back to this, you know, I was definitely, like I said, you know, having a great summer so far, and I think now that, you know, going to this match with Hulk, I definitely think it has a lot of potential. As far as what you're saying about Hulk and having it in his title matches, I'm kind of hoping they take the title off of him and just put it on someone else. I think maybe he would have been a great first champion, maybe in theory, but how it kind of played out really wasn't, you know, how I envisioned the champion of this promotion to be. So, you know, maybe this would Comic-Con USA, you know, doing something, you know, post-match, whatever, leading that whole thing. But I definitely think, you know, Hulk and Tozawa has – I definitely think it's going to be pretty interesting.
And
I don't really follow the Dragon Gate stuff as much as the Japanese-based stuff, but it'll be good because it's two Dragon Gate guys, and you know, Dragon Gate guys don't really suck. I mean, I'm not going to fill Schneider at all up and be like, man, these guys suck because they're doing all these moves and stuff, man. No, I mean, it'd be fun and shticky because Tozawa has all this pent-up charisma inside of him that he's just exploding out everywhere like
literally
Slimer and Ghostbusters. And him and BB should be, I mean, it'd be good, and it takes the pressure off of BB Hulk to try to carry the shows by having the main event match when all these other guys have blown you away already.
Yeah.
So it'll take a little bit of pressure off of him, and hopefully they go out there. I'm not saying they should pass it by any means, but they should go out there and have a match that, you know, just kind of flow with it, like this is how I do his shtick, and then maybe Hulk hits him with some big...
Hopefully it'll be like Tozawa against Mochizuki from Kanda. I thought that was a perfect kind of match for them. And hopefully Tozawa brings out some of the strippers that he's apparently good at rounding up. So,
I heard he's bringing strippers. Yeah. And just going back to BB Hulk for one more second.
Yeah.
And like you were mentioning, Alan, and it kind of just popped in my head now. Honestly, in my opinion, I think the best Freedom Gate defense that BB Hulk ever had was against Yokosuka from the, which was in Japan as a bonus on the Fearless DVD, if I recall correctly. So maybe, you know, I think maybe, I don't know how comparison Yokosuka would are. I really never even thought about it. But, like, I think maybe this is kind of like a big guy more toward that style, you know, and maybe to pounce on, you know, Hulk for a while and have him do his baby face comeback instead of, you know, Hulk fighting, you know, Yoshino or Dragon Kid where he's the bigger guy.
Yeah, perhaps. And then we've got a tag team match, which actually could be pretty momentous because this could be the last ever tag team, or the last ever match for the Speed Muscle combination, who may have to, the World 1 faction are possibly going to have to break up in Japan in a couple of weeks, and they've got a six-man tag where they may end up broken up after that, and Yoshino and Doi, of course, will then never be able to team together again, and I don't think they have any tag matches between this show and then, so this could, in theory, and probably will be their last match together, and they'll be taking on Quack and Jig, which would have been a dream match for me, like, say, 2 years ago, but I haven't been super high on Quack and Jig in DGUSA. I'm not sure what it is. I'm waiting for the Quack and Jig that had that match against Steen and Jericho in ROH in, I think, 2007, and it was just absolutely, it was in Philadelphia, and it was absolutely awesome. And that Quack and Jig haven't really showed up in DGUSA yet. And I think it's more Quack than Jig. I'm loving Jigsaw every time I've seen him recently, but for some reason Quack is, I don't know if it's me just kind of getting sick of Quack's stuff, or like it was probably fresher to me in 2007, or if it's that he's kind of regressed a bit, but I don't know, I haven't been hugely into them so far in DGUSA, but this is a match that they could really light it up in if they're on top of their game.
Yeah, I kind of agree about Quack in a way. I think when you were saying about how, like, you know, you think you've just kind of seen everything he's got, I kind of agree. I think, I don't know, I'm not really big on the whole Quack and Jigsaw running Dragon Gate USA as much as I would like to be. I think they had a good match against the Young Bucks at Mercury Rising, but other than that, I don't know. They really haven't done anything too memorable, I guess. I think Yoshino and Doi, I mean, obviously they're awesome, and if this is their last time teaming together, you know, hopefully maybe it's just a match for them just to go out there and just kind of, you know,
be
do
awesome.
Whatever they do. Yeah, and just be awesome and just, you know, win it. And, you know, everyone's be happy and that's it. So, you know, who knows?
Tom, you got any quick
thoughts? Yeah, you know, the cinema to put over fucking Jigsaw is like the best tag team in the world by putting over all these teams like the Young Bucks and, you know, I'm assuming Speed Muscle, since like you said, Alan, they're apparently might be breaking up in a couple of weeks. But it's not quite there. Like, I don't know if it's because they don't seem like a team. Like, because Quack and Jig, as much as they team up, they still don't really click to me as a unit, as a cohesive unit, like, let's say, a Motor City Machine Gun or Generation Me or anything like that.
Yeah.
And also, it's Quack has completely, we've seen it all with Quack. Because when I noticed in, like, 06 through 08, when everyone was like, bring Quack here, bring Quack there, but you weren't really getting to see him a whole lot. And he was in his own contained environment in Chikara, where if he wanted you to see something new and cool, you'd see it. But now he's, like, everywhere, it seems like. He's in Evolve, he's in Dragon Gate, he's in Chikara, he's popping up here, he's popping up there. So it's like, he's got to fill up all this time that he's wrestling with stuff. And eventually you see everything and you get sick of it. So, and plus, I'm sure his back's killing him. I mean, he's been working on it for, even after the surgery, for how long now? So, I mean, this, like Alan said, this would have been an awesome match. Like 2 years, like an awesomely hyped match. Because Speed Muscle had all that momentum coming off of, you know, the World X Cup and ROH appearances. And Quack and Jig were just starting to get hot off that one ROH Philly. So it'd been like an amazing dream match. 2010, especially in a show like this, which has really been overshadowed by the announcement of the big iPay-per-view and, you know, the shadow of, you know, the DVDs not coming out yet from May. You know, it's just kind of there.
Yeah, guys, we got it. We're fighting against the clock here, so we're gonna race through we're gonna race through some stuff here. Dragon Kid Shingo, I think obviously two guys with amazing chemistry. No way this is gonna be anything but amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather, if we're going to be just talking real quick about the rest of this show before we move on to Milwaukee, Danielson and Yamato, I think is going to be awesome. I just, real quick, I wanted to mention, I watched the Daruki Doi versus Yamato match, I think from the March pay-per-view. Not the American pay-per-view, but the Japanese.
Oh, Sumo Hall, yeah.
It was a compilation gate. And I thought that match, Alan, fantastic. That was an incredible match. So obviously you're changing out Daruki Doi and Danielson, who a lot of people maybe consider similar in a way, you know, just the technical aspect. So I think Yamato against Danielson is going to be awesome. And I guess when this DVD comes out, you know, WrestleMania weekend, it'll probably be really fun to watch.
Yeah. Tom, any thoughts on those two matches quick?
Dragon Kid Shingo is going to be awesome because those two are awesome. My big question about Yamato, if Danielson wins the U.S. title tonight at the Champions
League,
does he get to bring the U.S. belt with him? Who thinks that title belt? I guarantee you.
On the line, and Yamato has to break out his pancreas training, because I know Danielson trains the MMA and stuff, but I think Yamato took it to a bit of higher level when he was in pancreas before he started in Dragon Gate. So he could shoot on Danielson. He could hook him, and he could take the U.S. title, and it would be amazing.
Or he could just hit like a skull crushing finale, like Driver, and like, drop him on his head with it.
That'd for sure.
Fantastic.
So now we move on to Milwaukee the next night, and this card looks just as good.
It's not the Rave. I'm so upset that it's not the Rave, because ECW used to run their shows at the Rave, and I thought that building looked awesome. Bellator just actually ran a show there too, I think just last week. Fortunately, it's not there.
It's called The Way of the Ronin, so hopefully that leads to a run-in from Peter Ruggie's Ronin out of exile. And, we've got Seema versus Chuck Taylor, which obviously, as excited as I am for the Ricochet match, I'm just as excited for this one. I think this could be amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think, you just look at this show and it's like, all right, everything looks good, you know? It's not, you know...
I think Dragon Kid against Quack is a real kind of, it's really like a dream match for Quack, and I think he'll be really up for that, and I think that could be really, really fun. Jigsaw versus Akuma, that's interesting, because it's, it's two guys who are probably going to have better match with each other than they would have with, say, someone else that they don't wrestle, that they're not as familiar with, because they've wrestled each other so many times and they just know each other inside out. I think they could really put on a I'd be more excited about Akuma in this match than I would about Akuma wrestling someone that he doesn't wrestle regularly, like even a Dragon Gate guy. Like, I think I'd rather see Akuma versus Jigsaw than, say, Akuma versus Tozawa or something like that. And,
To interrupt now, and you said that, you know, they're familiar with each other and everything. I just wanted to note, really interesting, they wrestle each other in all these tags. I think this is only the third singles match they've had.
Oh, wow.
They had one at Fight Sports.
They had one this year, didn't they?
Maybe, possibly. Everything, like, Chikara-wise, like, glosses through my head. They had one on Fight Sports and Blast, the abomination involved in 2007. That was shockingly good for the time, and that was their first ever.
By their DVDs.
Yes, exactly, because the money will go to nobody. Bank account's locked up. I'm serious. Bank account's locked up. Ask Mike Burns about the story. And then, yeah, they wrestle each other. I thought it was 2008 in Chikara, but it might have been this year.
I think they had a match in what's that building called? The one that
says... Didn't they wrestle in Easton?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it was the main event, and I think it was pretty good. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And Danielson versus Moxley is a very interesting match for... I think this is Danielson's second last appearance in the Indies, because I think he's matched Shelton Benjamin after this, which I really want to see. This one should be interesting. I really don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, you know, for a while, like when Danielson came back, you were kind of hoping that he would wrestle Moxie, because it's kind of like when Danielson left last September. In that interim, you know, Moxie was one of those guys, you know, in the indie scenes that kind of maybe came up, you know, as like these, you know, among these new faces. So, like, you know, you kind of wanted to see, like, matches, like, I guess we're not going to see Danielson versus Rich Swann or Danielson versus Adam Cole like I wanted to, but Danielson versus Jon Moxley is a pretty good, it's a good fresh matchup. I think they wrestled in HWA earlier this year, but I guess this is obviously a bigger stage for them. So it'll be good, and something different than what the main event of the show is, which is a six-man match. So it's definitely, like, two different style of matches, and I think this is, like, a, you know, fun show, if anything, you know, just... a quiet, you know, quiet show hearing about it.
The six man I think would be great. It's World One against Kamikaze. It's all the kind of usual guys you see in the six man, but Tozawa, who kind of doesn't get in a lot of these big main event six man tags, and I think this could be an off the chain match. I'm really looking forward to hearing and seeing how that turns out. And Tom, is there anything that you didn't mention this card that you want to talk about?
Well, I know that the Moxley-Danielson match in HWA, the two people that I've read that actually got to see it said it was amazing. Like,
was that like before Moxley became his current kind of grungy scumbag?
No, it was like a month and a half ago.
Oh,
like, yeah, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, wow. HWA booked that match right when Danielson got released. It was like he wrestled Moxley on a Friday and Drake Younger on a Saturday. So, but no, apparently the story of the match is Danielson was just a jerk and broke Moxley's arm until he finally gave up. Like, it's just 20 minutes of Danielson working over the arm and Moxley being awesome and being Jon Moxley selling the arm, which sounds amazing. And I know what Run and Relay gets the clock, but I just wanted to mention something real quick, since I have not gotten to see it hyped at all online, but it was amazing live. Have either of you gotten to see the six-way pre-show match from Fearless?
Yeah. That was the one with the guy that sets
his
fire or something, isn't it?
No, that was the fray. There was a fray at the Chicago show after that with it was like Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, Jon Moxley,
Eric Cannon, else? Right?
Yeah, Eric Cannon was in that match because he was like the star of that match.
Wait, there was a fray and a six way.
No, the fray was at the first Chicago show. The second show, Fearless had a six-way.
Oh.
All these dudes. Because Moxley got DQ'd immediately. Like, he took out a ref as soon as the bell rang. And he got mad and got DQ'd. And he came out and squashed Darren Corbin.
Sure.
And that was put on YouTube. But, no, like, I've never seen this match hyped. And it was, like, my second favorite match in the whole show. So I was just wondering if, like, no one bought the DVD and never saw it or what the deal was. Because, seriously, that match did more for, like...
Yeah, that
Kyle
was,
O'Reilly and Eric Cannon stock than anything I've seen other than the Adam Cole match.
That was the one DGSA DVD that I didn't bother picking up just because I wasn't totally in love with the pay-per-view. So, Yeah, no, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned that, but Kyle O'Reilly is fighting Eric Cannon on that pre-show in Chicago, and I think that could maybe be one of the best matches on that entire show.
That's why I brought it up, because they were the last, I think they were the last two in that six-way in Chicago I'm talking about,
and they were
doing some incredible stuff, and it was awesome because Kyle O'Reilly was like really over on like the Northeast at the time, but he had nowhere else in Chicago. Eric Cannon is like Chicago's homeboy; everyone loves him there. So it was kind of like the Chicago crowd wasn't like booing Kyle O'Reilly and backlashing against them, but they were cheering Cannon more because they wanted to see him get all these advantages on this momentum that Kyle O'Reilly had. So it was a very interesting crowd for a pre-show match. And these two did some ridiculous off-the-chart stuff. It was a really awesome match that if either you or anyone listening gets the chance to see it, please, please do.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. So if you're in the area of Chicago and Milwaukee and you're not going to UFC.
The Soul Touches are going to be on that show too. I don't think we mentioned that real quick. Just to get that going.
Marche Rocket, a man who I really want to be big. Because he's awesome. He could be like the freak show athletic kind of like Shelton Benjamin of the Indies, but although now Shelton Benjamin is the Shelton Benjamin of the Indies. And I think that could be in a good fit, the Sausages there. Hopefully Marche gets a chance to kind of break out in his own a bit, which he rarely gets to do, and it's all right, because like, the whole package of the Sausages is a lot of fun, but I want to see kind of if he can hang out in his own a bit. But these shows should be good if you're in the area, and as I said, if you're not going to UFC, check them out, and buy the pay-per-view when that comes out, and the DVDs when they come out. So thanks, guys, for joining me, and we'll definitely have you back on again. Oh, and plug your own show before we go.
Oh, yeah. Mike and Tom Presents, we post on CW Fans or on the F4W boards, which is probably where most people are probably going to be listening to this show anyway, the boards they go to. We're just a couple of dudes. We like wrestling, so we'll talk about it and hopefully get interested in it, you know.
I should mention, I hate to interrupt you, Mike, Brian Alvarez's podcasting recording Bordeaux looks a lot more impressive than when we record. You know, you have the midgets giving you wine, and you have Vinny Verhey chasing whatever the hell that is. Wow, that's impressive, Vince. Run. And Mike Coughlin's just all over there ranting and raving about traffic. It's nuts in here, Mike. I've never seen anything like it. We should come over here more often.
Yeah, we need to be on here a lot more often, actually. Thanks for having us on, Alan.
We will make it happen. So, guys, thanks again, and everyone stay tuned. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Ricochet is after the break. See ya. And hey, everybody, welcome back to our DGUSA horrific edition of the Dr. Keith Presents Show. And who better to have such a show than the man behind Dragon Gate USA itself, Gabe Sapolsky. Gabe, how are you doing, sir? No, Dr. Keith is not here, as has become traditional, unfortunately. He may be back soon enough. We may get him on for a special appearance. I was talking with him when I was in work today, and he seems in good spirits, as he always is. But we have you, Gabe, and we're very excited to have you on with some big shows coming up this weekend in Chicago and Milwaukee.
Yep, thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, so... big news coming out of DGUSA today, as it happens. What everyone has just heard on the show was a preview. Myself and my comrades Mike and Tom did just about a day or two ago, talking about this show and previewing the matches and stuff. But a few things have been changed up now. And how about you fill us all in on that?
Well, something I do every afternoon now for, I guess you can call it a lunch, and to get off the internet for an hour and away from the TV for an hour or so, is take my 10-month-old out for a walk. So we're taking our walk the other day. It's very relaxing, too. We're about 45 minutes into it. I live right by the baseball stadium here in Philly, so walking around the stadium, soaking up the playoff atmosphere for the Braves series, very relaxed, and all of a sudden I get a call from Jigsaw. So I'm pretty happy when I see his name pop up on my cell phone, because I actually sent him a couple of promos I would have liked him to cut and put up on YouTube to try to, you know, promote this weekend show. So I figure he's calling about those. And then he gives me the unfortunate news that he sprained his MCL. He's out for 3 to 4 weeks. So pretty much at that point, everything kind of changes because Jigsaw and Quackenbush against Stoy Yoshino was the pay-per-view main event. Of course, we have Brian Danielson versus Yamato as the main event of the show in Chicago, but we're not putting that on pay-per-view for obvious reasons. So that kind of created a little bit of a ripple effect. So at that point, you kind of sit down and you, you know, start wondering what you do. And it goes back to, you know, the Paul Heyman philosophy of, you know, you under-promise, over-deliver. And in the case of a substitution, you try to give fans more, you know, than they paid for. So that went right back to, I hate to change around two matches, you know, but I figured, you know, Quack and Jigsaw are the team from Chikara that we're pushing. You know, no disrespect to Hollow Wicked. He's obviously part of things, and we have him involved and stuff. But, you know, Quack and Jigsaw have been the team that we've been promoting. So instead of kind of having a substitution, figure let's just change things. I hate to go ahead and change two matches on a show, or basically that ended up changing three matches on the show as a result of it, and that's something I like to avoid. But at the same time, when we have the opportunity to take Shima and put him in there with Doi and Yoshino, which we haven't really done much over here. They just did the six-man in Phoenix. And then at the same time, you have an opportunity to take Ricochet, who is on fire after that four-way that Brian Alvarez loved and has a lot of buzz going now. And, you know, you say to yourself, all right, it's going to be an awesome match because you're going to have Shima, Yoshino, and Doi in there. And then at the same time, we have an excellent opportunity to let someone make himself in Ricochet and let him really become a star. So, you know, we'll give him that opportunity and we'll see what happens. And then, you know, the ripple effect, obviously the Shima Ricochet match, which was the opening match on the show, is now off. And we take a BB Hulk versus Tozawa match, which was going to be a good mid-card match. And I think it's somewhat more interesting now with Mike Quackenbush in there making it a three-way. And you know, you have Quackenbush and BB Hulk interaction for the first time on that, you know, in that match too. So, you know, you hate to switch around the card like that. I'm a big fan of usually just trying to figure out something for that one match and not really switch around the card too much. But in this case, I feel like we've come out with a really, really strong card. You know, it reminds me of, you know, when Steve Corino canceled off of the ROH show and he was supposed to wrestle Samoa Joe in Chicago and we ended up Joe versus Punk. Same thing with, you know, the Unscripted show back in the first year of ROH when Corino and Spanky canceled off and we ended up with Michael Shane Paul London ladder match. You know, there's other examples like that. So, you know, hopefully it turns out with that kind of situation. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch and see what Ricochet does with the spot.
Did you maybe give any thought to going ahead with the Shima Ricochet singles match and then maybe having them do, I don't know, like a short 8-9 minute match or whatever, and then at the end of the match, Shima say so impressed at Ricochet that he'd make him his tag team partner and they'd wrestle Speed Muscle. I guess it'd be hard to promote something like that, but
it'd be hard to promote. And also, you know, if this is going to be the pay-per-view main event with Yoshino and Doi, you want those guys focused on that one match.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, instead of having to do an 8-minute match, which really isn't going to accomplish much of anything for anybody at that point, you know, let's just keep them fresh and let them just be focused on that one match on that night and really have a main event quality match.
Now, we were saying on the earlier segment how in the couple of, like, the last few weeks or so, I'll be honest, these shows were coming up and, like, I was just not really aware of kind of what was... I knew, like, the big match, like Danielson and Yamato, but there was a lot of stuff that I kind of wasn't really sure about what was coming up, and I was even kind of surprised, oh, they're this weekend. But now, in, like, the final week for the shows, I just feel there's just been a really great hype job with, unfortunately, some of it comes from unfortunate circumstances with the Jigsaw injury leading to a lot of talk about those matches, but also the Jon Moxley, Jimmy Jacobs promos in the last few days, and just a lot of stuff coming out about this show, and I think just the final week, there's been a great kind of build and buzz going towards it, and even though, of course, I won't be there, I'm really excited to see what goes down on these shows. Was that something you were maybe conscious, like a slow kind of taper building into these shows, maybe not to take the shine off the pay-per-view that aired about a week or two ago, and then like hit it hard in the last week?
No, I'm actually sorry to hear that.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Going in. We had a lot of stuff focused on Brian Danielson leading up to the show. We were trying to focus most of the hype around him. You know, I think it worked to a point. You know, we have Brian Danielson versus Yamato and Brian Danielson versus Moxley coming up this weekend. So, you know, I think we have two really exciting matches there. And, you know, basically what you're seeing now is part of the plan come together with what we did. You know, we sat down after the Phoenix shows and we kind of set a new plan. And then after the last Chikara show, I sat down. You know, we had Dragon Gate in July and the next day was Chikara. And at the Chikara show was all the Dragon Gate guys. So I had an opportunity to sit down with Shima in the office there. And, you know, a big thing we talked about was making DGUSA homegrown talent and homegrown stars, and I think that's something that you're beginning to see now. You know, you can't shove new talent down people's throats. That always backfires. And you know, what we're in right now is, I believe it takes 6 to 12 months for new talent to really get over with an audience. You know, it took CM Punk until the Raven feud in ROH to really get over. You know, that was 6 months in. And then he didn't turn that corner until right after that feud. You know, Samoa Joe, it took him 6 to 8 months as ROH world champion to really get over. You know, I think that the Christopher Daniels match was a turning point. You know, in ECW, you know, you saw it time and time again, you know. And that's the best way to have new talent come in and get over is not, you know, there's that microwave culture now where everybody wants everything overnight and wants everything instantly. And I don't believe in that. I believe in taking that 6 to 12 months, and you're going to have growing pains during that time, and you're going to lose buzz, but you're building a foundation and you're building things, and then it pays off. And I think one guy we're really seeing that pay off with now is Jon Moxley. You know, there's a guy that I think it's happening like right now where he's turning that corner. Just with those recent promos that he's put online.
They've been amazing. Just that back and forth with him and Jimmy, because that's something that's never really been done. And like, there's been guys putting up YouTube promos and all that for a while now, but there's never been that kind of back and forth. One guy put, because I remember on one of Jacobs, when Jacobs was doing like the Jimmy Jacobs kind of story things, you put up the three-parter, I was instantly thinking, I cannot wait this. I just hope Moxley does a video response to this. And it was great because his first response was just basically like he couldn't even bring himself to talk about it. And it was hilarious. And then he came back and then he did the great promo just this week. And I've loved how that's gone.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that now Jon Moxley is more accepted. I think if all of this happened 6 months ago, it wouldn't get the kind of reaction. But it takes that 6 to 12 months to go through this period and have a guy get over. You know, we saw an ROH with, you know, Roderick Strong and Austin Aries and you know, Tyler Black to a lesser extent. And, you know, the whole Generation Next crew, you know, Alex Shelley, you know, all those guys. No, they were around for 6 to 12 months to building up, and then you turn that corner and they're made. But you have to go through that 6 to 12 months where everyone nitpicks everything about the guy, and then you always have the phase where everyone on the internet has to turn against him, and you know, they suddenly decide they don't like him because you know, they realize maybe he's getting pushed, and everyone wants to, you know, get him over at their own terms, and then people come out of that and then they start to accept him, and then hopefully you have that one angle, that one match where you really turn that corner. And, you know, I mean, something we tried earlier with Dragon Gate USA was, you know, we tried bringing in names like a Too Cold Scorpio, you know, already established names, Super Crazy, Paul London, you know, Brian Kendrick, Tommy Dreamer. And, you know, it worked as far as, you know, having some fresh matches and some fresh faces. And I'm not trying to run down any of those guys and what they contributed, because they all contributed. But, you know, now we're focused on kind of building our own homegrown talent. And, you know, part of that is waiting at just getting through that 6 to 12 months, and then you're going to see the payoff. You know, the way I see it is, like, what did Jon Moxley mean to this audience a year ago? What did Johnny Gargano mean to this audience a year ago? What did Ricochet mean to this audience a year ago? You know, what did Brody Lee mean to this audience a year ago? You know, what do they mean now? Now, I'm not saying that they're over and that they're seen as stars by this audience now, but they all mean a lot more than they did a year ago. So what are they all going to mean in 2011 for us? You know, Chuck Taylor's another one. So, I know I'm leaving guys out, and I hate to do that, but you know, we're in that process. Not everyone's going to get over like a star, but, you know, you're going to hit more than you miss, and it's just part of building up this town, and that's what we're in the middle of right now, and it's an exciting thing, you know? Like, that's the thing that gets me about the internet sometimes, is you always have these people that'll just do everything they can to nitpick everything and say, this guy's not going to be a star. You know, I heard it time and time again from 2002 to 2005 against about Key and Punk and Brian Danielson and Joe. And, you know, we've all seen what they can do when they're put on national TV now and stuff. And, you know, it's always just nitpicking. And it's like, you know what, instead of trying to find every fault you can in the guy, yes, he has faults right now because these guys are gaining experience and they are young and they're only going to improve. And instead of sitting here nitpicking, trying to break him down and expecting him to wrestle like Eddie Guerrero right now, it's not going to happen. But what you're going to see is you're going to watch them develop. You're going to see them develop. You're going to see them get better. You're going to see them become stars. And you're going to be along for the ride and be part of it. You know, Davey Richards was a guy who first came to ROH. Oh, this guy's a Chris Benoit ripoff, and, you know, he looks like a guy trying to wrestle Japanese style, but not. And no one's saying that about him now, and people have to realize when Davey Richards was around, and, you know, when he came in 2006, he's 2-3 years in the business. You know, it takes 5-7 years in the business and working on a consistent basis in front of real audiences. I'm not talking about, like, you know, 50 people on the local show. That does benefit, you know, but working that twice a month is going to do it. Working consistently, you know, working better opponents than you, working in front of good crowds, and that's how you improve and get better. And we are in that process now with all these guys, and everyone's along for the ride. So, you know, sit back, enjoy it, and watch these guys develop. And that's what's happening right now. And you're going to see them all turn that corner. And I think we're seeing it with John Moxley. And, you know, Moxley and Jimmy Jacobs are going to have an opportunity to tear down the house in the Chicago street fight this Saturday and at the Congress Theater in Chicago. And, you know, what happens there? You know, Ricochet, who definitely, you know, kind of hotshot a little bit with his performance in that four-way, but he's going to have a huge opportunity. You know, Gargano's a guy, you know, he started out in the fray on the very first show, you know, had a part in that. Then, and we came back in the September show, he had another part. The November show, you know, we put him in the six-way. He did good in that. And every single opportunity he's gotten, he's come through, and, you know, and he's done well enough to the point where I go, okay, I'd like to give this guy another opportunity a little bit better than the last one. And each one, he kind of rises up. And, you know, he's just another guy that you're going to see get better as he gains more experience, you know. So I just hope that people enjoy the ride and it should happen because, you know, it's happening.
Now, with all these kind of young, really awesome wrestlers with all this potential that you want to showcase, it obviously helps to have a couple of experienced big-name guys you can rely on to kind of help with that. And there's certainly someone who fits that mold on his way into Dragon Gate USA, and that is, of course, Homicide. How excited are you about Homicide joining up, and how do you see him fitting in wrestling with not only the younger wrestlers like Chuck Taylor, Ricochet, and people like that, but the top Dragon Gate guys like Yoshino and Shingo, etc.?
I mean, it's great, you know. I mean, it's like, all right, we have Brian Danielson in for three shows. And, you know, first of all, we have Brian Kendrickson, who I think is very underrated, and he helped get John Moxley on the map in a big way just by the partnership and everything. And so it's like, okay, that's good. We had him to work these guys. And we had Davey Richards and the Young Bucks. It's like, all right, they moved on. Then, you know, next thing you know, we got Brian Danielson in. So we have a nice three-show run with Brian Danielson. We get in 2 dream matches with Shingo and Yamato. We get in a match with John Moxley to give Moxley an opportunity. And he's already worked Danielson, which is great. So then I'll have a chance to work Danielson on multiple occasions, you know, so that'll help his development. And, you know, now Danielson's gone, and then you got a guy like Homicide to step right in. And, you know, hopefully we have a little run with him. And, you know, he can do the same thing. You can put him with some Americans, some of the upcoming guys, and have him gain experience there. And at the same time, you can have a dream match or two or three with a Japanese talent that, you know, no other promotion can put on right now. So, you know, it's very exciting to have a guy like Homicide, you know, in the prime of his career, one of the hardest workers out there. And, you know, I'm thrilled to have him in, and it's going to create some exciting opportunities to where we can have some unique matches and some dream matches, and at the same time do some good character stuff with him too, because obviously he's great in feuds and stuff.
And now we've pimped the Chicago show quite a bit, but of course there is the Milwaukee show the next night. That's going to be the DVD tape, Chicago's pay-per-view taping and Milwaukee's DVD taping only. Have I got that right?
Yeah, and, you know, Milwaukee has probably the most criminally underlooked match of the year, because I can't believe there's no more hype for it, with the Shingo, Yamato, and Tozawa versus Hulk, Dory, and Yoshino. I mean, you know, if a match like this was happening a couple of years ago, people would be going bonkers over it, you know, and maybe part of it was my fault because we have put so much emphasis on, you know, Bryan Danielson's last weekend with us, but I'm going to push it strong for the next couple of days. But, I mean, you talk about a match that could easily be the match of the year. I mean, that's it.
Oh, it's going to be sick for sure. Anyone who sees those guys regularly work with each other knows how good that could be. And I like Tozawa in that match because a lot of the big time Dragon Gate six mans that have happened in America over the years, they haven't really had an element like Tozawa in them. I think he brings something different that could really light an extra fire to that match. I think that could be really, really good. And I think maybe part of the reason that it's just kind of flowing under the surface is just because people kind of know how good it's going to be, and it's kind of just, there's almost not much you can say about it. It's just they see those names, those three guys against those three guys, and it's like, well, that's going to be clearly amazing, and then there's not really much more to say about it. I think it's a type of match. Maybe there won't be huge buzz going into it, but certainly coming out of it, I think that will be the match, certainly that night anyway, that everyone will be talking about afterwards, and from the weekend as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it could easily be match of the year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, you just look at some of the combinations in that match and the fact, you know, it's the first time like a pure Dragon Gate six-man's coming to the Midwest since basically 2006. And, you know, so it's really going to be something special. And, you know, I can't wait to see it. That's the kind of match that I just look forward to. It's the last match of the weekend. You know, it's going to be the main event in Milwaukee. You know, I'll be done pretty much with everything. Maybe backstage promo or two we'll have to do then. So, you know, that's the kind of match that I'm just looking forward to sitting back and watching as a fan, you know. I just love seeing matches like that. So I'm really going to enjoy it myself.
Now, before we go, we've talked about one of your babies, but we got to talk about the other, Evolve. Just did a huge big show with Danielson against Sauer. And how did you feel that went? I read some of your thoughts online, but maybe you reiterate that for some of the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it was Bryan and Sauer, you know, wow, thankfully we were able to put that match in. You know, it would have been really a shame if that match didn't happen. I mean, they're just on such a different level in a different universe. You know, if we had 10 guys like that, and some money, I just imagine, you know, how we could change wrestling. You know, it could completely modernize wrestling. So, you know, that match is definitely something special that the fact that it was even able to happen. So, you know, thankfully for that it did happen. I'm really glad that it did. And, you know, the undercard, we saw once again, you know, everybody get a little bit more of a reaction than they did on the first of all show, you know. You know, again, the Ricochets and the Kyle O'Reillys and the Adam Coles. And, you know, of course, Jimmy Jacobs always gets a great reaction, you know, but the Garganos. And you know, you're seeing these guys, and Chuck Taylor, too. You're seeing these guys just keep slowly and steadily getting a little bit more of a reaction than they did the last time. And, you know, I think people are really beginning to see where the Evolve concept is going and, you know, how the wins and losses are playing into things. And, you know, I think that as we get a couple more shows, we only have one more show for the rest of this year on November the 20th back at the Ace Arena in Union City, New Jersey, right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, which is a small building, so get your tickets in advance. We do have Homicide set for that one. But I think people are beginning to see where things are going, and again, we're not just getting new talent over with Evolve. We're getting a whole new promotion and brand and concept over. So, you know, we didn't expect to step in and be an overnight success. But like I said, you know, we're not part of the microwave culture here. We're not looking for overnight success. We're looking to build a foundation, and we're in this for the long haul. And I feel that Evolve, from the first show to the fifth show now, we've definitely made a lot of strides.
Now, I just forgot one other Dragon Gate USA thing that we should really have mentioned. The iPay-Per-View coming up in October, I believe. I'm definitely
October
excited.
29.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that because it'll be a chance for me to see Dragon Gate USA as it happens, which, of course, like being over here, it's hard to do. So, I'm definitely stoked for that. And is there going to be a regular pay-per-view taping that weekend as well, or is it going to be that?
Yeah, Raleigh's going to be the cable pay-per-view taping.
Oh, okay.
And that's October 30th in Raleigh, and October 29th is the iPay-per-view. So nice. I'm really excited about it because, like, you know, I've booked 300, 400 shows at this point and somewhere in that vicinity, and none of them have been broadcast live, you know, and never mind broadcast live all over the world. So, you know, you start sitting down and thinking about things you can do, and there's just, like, a lot of new possibilities that, you know, booking-wise that you can do on it. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to booking that show and running a live iPay-per-view. I think that's going to be something really fun and exciting to do. And basically, you know, it's stuff like this. You know, you book this many shows and done it for this many years, and then something like this comes along, and it's like you're starting over at day one again. It makes everything completely fresh and exciting again. And I think it's going to be an awesome opportunity for everybody on the show, for the fans to see a live show, you know, for the wrestlers to perform live, and for us to step into this new technology, you know. And this is, there's no fighting it. This is the way things are going. I think once technology catches up with demand, you're going to see, you know, and everyone has stronger internet connections and knows how to plug their TV into their computer, that, you know, I think that you're going to get to the point in a few years where every show is a live internet pay-per-view. And, you know, then, boom, the DVD, you know, you can immediately download and burn your own DVD of it if you want. If, you know, if DVDs are even around at that point, or you can do something. But I think, you know, put on whatever, I don't know, all this stuff. But, you know, I think that's the way to go. And I don't think the technology is there because, you know, I still hear glitches of people trying to burn, like, DVDs off of, like, other companies trying to offer that kind of service. And, you know, we're making sure we have a dedicated line for this iPay-per-view so we don't have any glitches with the internet and stuff. But, you know, the technology's not quite there yet, but it obviously will be. You know, there'll probably be computers one day that you just plug into your TV for the sole purpose of watching TV. Yep. And, you know, when that happens, I think every show will just be a live iPay-per-view at that point. And, you know, so we want to get in now and get in at the beginning of all this and be up to date with what's going on. So I think it's a real exciting opportunity on all those fronts.
For sure. Well, Gabe, unless, is there any other plugs you want to get out there before we let you go?
No, just check us out, dgusa.tv, not a .com, it's .tv, dgusa.tv, and evolvewrestling.com. We'll have tickets available at the door in Chicago and Milwaukee this weekend. Chicago Saturday night, Milwaukee Sunday afternoon. And we're not back in the Midwest for a long time. So, you know, don't miss your opportunity to see us. And we'll never be back with Brian Danielson. So don't miss that opportunity. And then Evolve 6 with Homicide. And we've announced a bunch of other names over at EvolveWrestling.com. That'll be going down November 20th in right outside New York City. And check out our DVDs. You can get two of all DVDs for $25, and I'm sure you'll – and we have all of our first four shows, which are all the shows we have released, available in that package, and I'm sure you'll agree that that's a heck of a deal.
Oh, it is for sure. And you mentioned Brian Danielson there. I got to ask, is he going to have his brand-new WWE music that he just debuted on Monday night?
I would bet against it.
Oh, you got to have it for the Yamato match. It's not on pay-per-view, Anton. You can use that music. It's brilliant.
Yeah, well, we took the DVD, and, you know, I think the people want to hear Final Countdown one more time.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. That could even be it. That new song he's using could even be public domain. I don't know how these things work, but it's really, really
might
old.
Maybe, maybe. I will admit one thing, though, is that I will be very thankful when I never have to hear Final Countdown again.
Well, I don't know if I can agree with you on that one, Gabe. But anyway, we'll let you go. And thanks a million for joining us. It's a pleasure as always.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, everybody, yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage here. We are entering the danger zone once again. Elizabeth has hit the bricks because I'm here to talk to a very special man. Yeah, I've got on the line another Macho Man Randy Savage. Macho Man, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good there, Macho Man. Oh, yeah. How are you doing this fine night here? Yeah.
I'm doing excellent because I get to speak to a fine, fine, upstanding individual like myself for once, and it's very good. I don't have to talk to jabronis like Hulk Who. I don't want to talk about guys like that. I want to talk about great wrestlers like Ricochet from DGUSA. Do you know anything about this Ricochet cat, Macho Man?
Ooh, yeah, dude, here, listen here, brother. Actually, you're talking about the Ricochet here. I got him right beside me right here. One and only Ricochet right beside the Macho Man right here. Do you want to talk to him, brother?
You know, I'll put on a guy right beside me who I think he wants to talk to Ricochet. So, Alan, you come on the line now. You talk to Ricochet.
Oh, thanks, Macho Man. That was interesting stuff. So, Ricochet, are you there?
I am here. Macho Man,
awesome.
I just left.
That's cool. It was quite the coincidence. We both had a Macho Man beside us. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's awkward. I mean, not even awkward. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's a great man, that Randy Savage. And Ricochet, how are you? Dragon Gate USA coming up this weekend. You've got to be pretty excited about that.
Honestly, I'm very excited. More excited than I think I've ever been about any show, really, that I've had in the past couple of years I've been wrestling. It's a wild ride. I'm very excited.
And you're like the name on everyone's lips at the moment, coming off that the big four-way on the last Dragon Gate USA pay-per-view, and your apparently awesome performance at BOLA for PWG. And you've got quite a lot of hype going into these Dragon Gate USA shows this weekend. And on the first night, as we just heard from Gabe Sapolsky in the previous segment, things have been switched around a little bit. And instead of facing SEMA, you're going to be teaming with the legendary SEMA to take on the team of Speed Muscle, Naruki Doi, and Masato Yoshino. Are you happy with this change, or do you think this is going to be a better opportunity for you to showcase your skills?
I'm very excited. I was looking on one-on-one with SEMA. I was looking forward to that, SEMA, but this change, it's big. It's very big. It's probably a bigger match now that it's been changed like this. It's probably a bigger opportunity for me, honestly, and I just hope I can live up to everyone's standards, I guess, because the last DGUSA match, it was good. It was real good. I don't even know. Like, everything just clicked. Everything was good. I don't know. And then, the PWG BOLA, I just went out there and just had fun. Just had fun both nights, and I don't know. Everything's been coming together here recently for once. Everything's just been going good. Seven on, pretty good.
Yeah, you wrestled Claudio on one of those shows at BOLA, and I remember seeing you guys wrestle each other in, I think, 2007 at a King of Trios, and it was absolutely amazing. I loved that match. And when I saw that you guys are wrestling at BOLA, like, Claudio in the form of his life at the moment, and you, like, with 3 years of improvement under your belt, like, I was just thinking, this has to be amazing. And from all reports, it was. I cannot wait to see those DVDs when they come out. Is Claudio, would he be one of your favorite opponents to wrestle just because of the style matchup you have there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's still, like, there's still a couple people I get nervous wrestling, and he's definitely one of them because they're just so good, and I just wanted to, show the world how good I am. But Claudio's definitely top three, one of my favorite workers ever to work with in the ring, so far at least.
When he when you wrestled him at King of Trios, that was like the first time I ever saw him do like the crazy, insane pop up European uppercut where he literally almost threw you to the roof of the ECW arena. Like, what is going through your mind when that's happening? Is it just like, does everything stand still for a moment and then all of a sudden you're just met with this huge, big European uppercut?
I couldn't even see what hear what other people were doing. I just seen a big, huge forearm slash bicep coming towards my mouth. Like, I was just thinking, this is going to hurt. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking.
And then I
go back and I watch it. I watch it like on DVD, and I was like, it seems like he shot me a lot higher than like it felt like. And I don't know, he shot me high, man. It was ridiculous. Of course, I was only like 140 pounds at the time.
And then the next night of PWG, you were in a six-man tag where apparently you tore the house down again. I assume there's a lot of guys in that match you haven't wrestled before. So was that? I'd say that was a match that you were probably excited about.
I think all of them, besides Kentucky Kid, in the match I've never even worked with before.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Somehow, like again, everything clicked together and they just put off a really good match. I don't know.
So do you think do you think you did enough that weekend to be headed back to PWG?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm actually, yeah, I guess, because I'm supposed to be I think I'm supposed to be going there on the 9th of October again.
Oh, that's the of course, you're wrestling Generico. Yeah, that's gonna be amazing. I got so distracted with your Dragon Gate USA stuff coming up, I completely forgot that. Yeah, you've got that match with Generico, and that is gonna be insane. Have you wrestled him in singles before? Or would this be the first time?
I have not wrestled him in singles. I wrestled him in like a 6-man gimmick like a long time ago at Jersey All Pro. I wrestled him, twice in a 6-man thing.
Yeah, I think that just could be absolutely nuts, the way you two guys would probably click together, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that match. We also talked there about the four-way from the last Dragon Gate USA pay-per-view, and this was a match which just got so much buzz and hype after everyone saw it, because it was just such an insane, action-packed 8-9 minutes, whatever it was, like from bell to bell. And all four of you guys looked amazing, and all four of you guys like kind of brought something different to the match. Like Adam Cole is the kind of the up and coming sort of rookie type guy, and
Adam Cole's great. I wrestle Adam Cole in day of the week.
We had Adam Cole on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he is one awesome individual, and he is gonna go far in this business, I'd say.
Yeah.
But you had Eric Cannon on there as well, and he was just punching people in the mouth. And then of course you and Chuck Taylor with your guys' natural rivalry and dynamic, and I just thought it really came together for just one hell of a match. And I think that's the type of match that has gone down as almost, I don't want to say legendary, but it's gone down so favorably with people that I think a rematch has to happen at some point. And I want to see you guys go like 15, 20 minutes of doing that, because I just think, I don't think I could get sick of that at any point.
Honestly, I think that was just like a jewel in the rough. I don't know, man. That was, everything just came together. I mean, I'm sure it can happen again. All those guys in there were really good, really good. But I mean, everything, it came out exactly the way like I wanted it. Everybody wanted it, but I hope we do get another one. I hope so.
Now, a constant for that match and for your PWG 6-man was, of course, the presence of one sexy Chucky T. And he is a man who you are very familiar with. You guys broke in together. You wrestled all around the Midwest and Southern United States, honing your skills and driving in cars up and down the roads together. And would you say at this point, with all that experience with Chucky T behind you, do you like the man or do you absolutely hate the man?
Oh, Chucky T. I have to give Chucky T most of the credit for, I guess, what I know and like what I do now. As much as, you know, you hate to admit your rival, you know. But I got to give him most credit for, like, just, like, the wrestler or whatever I am today. Like, how much, like, I've improved and stuff has a lot to do with Chucky T. I mean, it has a lot to do with a whole bunch of other workers and stuff, but Chucky T, he's been the one, I guess, that we've traveled on the road together so long. He's just given so much advice, like, you know, but, yeah, I had to give him credit for being one of the main people who helped me get along.
What age were you guys when you started together?
What age?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He was on the first show I was on. My very first show was the day I turned 15. The day I turned 15, I totally left.
Wow. Day
I turned 15. I think he's 2 years older than me.
That's crazy. What age are you now? So that was probably about like 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe?
October, I'll be 22.
Okay, geez. It's hard to fathom someone who's just about to turn 22 has already been resting close to 7 years. But that is pretty crazy. And but I think it's really advantageous because like just to build in all those skills kind of at such a young age, they'd stick with you. It just probably helps build such a good foundation, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Like I get a lot of the guys are like, man, I wish I would have started that young and stuff. Like, I mean, it's been rough. It's been a rough couple 7 years. Like, I can definitely feel it. I feel things most like 22-year-olds. I guess kids really shouldn't really be feeling like in their bodies and like all this stuff. But I love doing it. you know, you can't stop that. It's just something you love doing.
And when you and Chuck were riding up and down the roads together, who got to choose the music?
Oddly, that's a funny question. Oddly enough, I mean, luckily we're both kind of digging the same music. Luckily, I mean, I like mostly all music. I'm not really big into much country, but luckily we both kind of dug the same kind of music. So like, it doesn't matter who we really picked, we both kind of liked it.
So you didn't have to pull over the car at any stage and just like break out a match right there and like try and he was trying to give you an Omega driver on the side of the road. Nothing like that ever happened.
Actually, a whole bunch of stuff has happened. Not over music. No. One time we were going to a show. We had one of my buddies who was he's a worker like most local companies down here. But it was a big snowstorm, and we were trapped in this car for like. Oh God, we were trapped on the side of the road, like on the median, like almost sideways always. And we were trapped in this car for, I'm gonna say, a good 23 hours. We were trapped
Jesus.
In this car. And so me, Chucky T, and my two buddies were sitting in this car. And so we told my buddy Mikey to go ask these people behind us, like two or three cars behind us, like go ask them for some food or something. Go ask them for something. And so he got out, went over there and asked him. And me and Chucky T just, we like attacked him in front of these people. We were beating them up in front of these people and like throwing them into our car and stuff. And they're like, oh my God. It's pretty funny.
That's amazing. That's a sight I would have liked to have seen. So obviously you and Chuck kind of progressed along together, and the first kind of big break you guys got, I suppose, would have been in IWA Mid-South. And,
yes.
I gotta ask you, you have won a 3-year, I believe, automatic entry into the Ted Petty Invitational. Now, so far, it hasn't really worked out too advantageous for you, as there hasn't been a Ted Petty Invitational. But you still
hold... I think I'm on my last year now. I think.
Oh, no.
The past two has been canceled, so I only got one more year left.
That's a shame. I got to ask, what are your thoughts on IWA at the moment? Do you see it as being something that will ever kind of... get back into, because I mean, in like 2004, 2005, 2006, like that was a really, good promotion. Like everyone has their things to say about Ian, but like there was a lot of good stuff that came, a lot of good wrestlers that came out of IWA. But obviously, in recent times, it's become more of a bit of a joke. And what are your thoughts on where that currently is? Would you like to see them maybe kind of get back on track and actually start to do something meaningful again?
I would love to see IWA get back on track. Cause, I mean, I would love to. I remember the first time going there and being like, man, I have so many tapes of IWA and stuff at the house and stuff. And now, like, now, man, it's not as big as it was. And I can't really talk bad about it because it was, like, if it wasn't for IWA, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I would not. So, I mean, I can't really. I mean, a lot of people do. I can't really, though. So, but I would love to see, like, running again, running back up, but I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love to.
And then from there, you guys went on to Chikara, and that's where you got even more exposure, I'd say, and you kind of took the feud there. Your first couple of shows, you were just kind of wrestling each other, and then Chuck went the route of joining Fist, and of course, he beat you in a match where you had to leave Chikara, and you haven't been back since, unfortunately, but there's been a Helios character that has been there ever since, and what are your thoughts on him and how he's done in Chikara?
I get mistaken for Helios all the time. I don't know why. It's crazy. I don't know. But, Chikara is probably... It's one of my top favorite... It's one of my top favorite promotions I've ever worked for. It's just so much fun. Locker room's fun. Everything's just fun. Afterwards, inside the ring. I don't know. Chikara, I hope Chikara really makes it. I hope Chikara goes far, far, far. I really do.
I've heard those karaoke sessions after the shows are usually quite the event.
Karaoke.
I heard Chuck is a man known to really tear it up on the karaoke stage. Do you often try and challenge him in that regard too?
It's not much of a challenge as much as it is as a... I don't really know. It's not really much of a talent, it's more of it is just a sing-along. Actually, I think the last Jakar show, me and one Colin Delaney actually had a sung to the end of the row of the Boys the Man. It's just really, really like...
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So, Chikara, you had the Futures Now stable with Jigsaw and Jimmy Olsen and Lindsay, and of course Lindsay turned and joined BDK. And I've just heard this weekend that Jimmy Olsen has reformed with the aforementioned Colin Delaney. So, where does the Future Is Now stand at the moment? Has the group?
I don't really know. I have no clue. I guess, because a bit since it's now just me and Jig. Jig could probably go do his own thing, and I guess I'm going to have to be stuck doing my own thing until something else comes up. I don't know.
So you think a singles run is in your future there? But of course the main title in Chikara is the tag belt, the Campeones de Parejas, yeah. And is there someone on the roster that you haven't really maybe teamed with before that you'd have your eye on as a potential partner?
If he wasn't tagging with Quack so much, I would love to have Jigsaw as a partner. Or there's a couple of, me and Jimmy were just now getting in a good groove, I thought. I don't know. Me and Lindsay had a couple of good things going, but,
hell yeah. There was that match you guys had, was it with 3.0, where you did that crazy, blindfold combination thing? That was freaking insane. That was one that I got rewound, several times. It should be interesting now to see what path you take in Chikara or Helios takes, I should say. But anyway, back to Dragon Gate USA this weekend. Night one, of course, as we mentioned, teaming with Seema against Speed Muscle. What have you got on tap for night two, Ricochet?
I have no clue what I'm doing on night two.
Tread in a mystery at the moment.
Yeah. That is a very big mystery. I really don't know.
Well, what? Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't even know.
When you're on these shows with the Dragon Gate guys, are you a fan of? Do you watch much Toryumon or Dragon Gate kind of before you started being on the shows with these guys? Is it something you've been a big fan of?
I watched some Dragon Gate. I never did really get to watch a lot of the Toryumon. But I heard a lot about it and stuff. I never did get to watch it though. But I've watched my Dragon Gate and stuff.
So when these guys are there at the shows live, do you try? For instance, at Milwaukee, did this is it Saturday or Sunday is the second show? Sunday is the second show. Okay, so this Sunday, when that main event six man goes out there and you've got six top Dragon Gate guys, is that the type of match that, you'd be watching from the back and trying to learn things from?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's one of the main matches I would definitely have to watch. I would have to watch them.
Have any of those Dragon Gate wrestlers kind of stood out to you so far as a potential favorite of yours?
I've always been a big fan of Masato Yoshino. I really have.
Yeah, Yoshino is he's quite the wrestler. With him running the ropes, Sam, that's gonna be tricky for you to deal with.
That's what I've been thinking about, him running and just his speed so quick. Everyone's like, Lucas got to use his speed here, but my speed's not even faster than his speed. I don't know.
I saw him live last weekend in England, and it's just. It's insane when you see this guy live, just how quick he moves and how fluid he is with everything. It's just poetry in motion, to use a cliche. But all those Dragon Gate guys are just so good. And they all bring something different. Of course, Shingo,
yeah.
More like the powerhouse. Tozawa brings whatever it is that he brings. And I cannot wait to see him again. He was in Chikara as well recently. Were you on the shows that he was on?
Tozawa?
He was on the
PWG shows.
Oh, he's the match with Hero. I've heard that was
pretty
great.
Really good match with Hero.
Yeah.
I think that's his match of the night for I think that's what matches the night for night two.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that one. We got to mention the other Gabe promotion that you're working heavily for at the moment, and that is Evolve. Yeah, and Gabe was this past week big time pushing your match with Kyle O'Reilly from the last show.
Oh yeah, me and Kyle O'Reilly had a really good match. I thought it came out really well.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. That was quite it was being pushed as the striker versus flyer matchup, and
honestly, I think a different side of me kind of came out. I didn't really do much flying or nothing, but I showed him that I was gonna go toe to toe with him, you know, shot for shot or whatever. But I think it worked out really well.
So what's your win loss record now in Evolve?
In Evolve, I believe it's 2-2.
2-2, so you're there in the nice middle of the road and a potential to move up. Have you got your sights set on anyone as a potential next opponent?
I hate to say it because he's like on a roll. Well, I guess he just lost there recently, but I won't take his team again.
You want Chuck again? Yeah, that first match you guys had in Evolve, I thought was absolutely brilliant, and I've seen three of the Evolve shows so far, and I've really enjoyed them all. And your match has definitely stood out amongst a bunch. And if Gabe's hype of this match with Kyle O'Reilly is anything to go by, that's definitely one to check out. Did you get to see much of Moon Norisawa when he was there in his match with Danielson?
I kind of sit in the back and trying to watch the whole thing. It was just an incredible match. It was so good. It was crazy. Both of them are just so good.
Yeah, he's a hell of an entertaining wrestler. And I hope he comes back. And that's a match I'd love to see if he's brought back you against him. I think that could. I think if you mentioned you're going toe to toe with Kyle, I think you'd really have to be going toe to toe with Sawa, because he's not afraid to punch people in the face, I think.
I don't know how much longer it would last with Sawa. I don't know how long it would last.
He's been known to ride people over with motorcycles as well if you're not careful. So
Yeah.
Check out that his video building up the match with Danielson. He sent it into Gabe completely unsolicited, and it's just him in some back alley in Tokyo beating up a guy and riding a motorcycle over him, and then hitting a big shining wizard to finish it all off.
That's a bad man.
That is a bad man indeed. I gotta ask, with working for Dragon Gate and being around all those wrestlers, I would assume in the back of your mind would be hoping to impress to maybe get a tour of Dragon Gate. And I was saying earlier in the show how I just think there's nobody more suited to getting a tour over there at the moment than you. I just think it'd be so great for you, and it'd be such a great fit over there. And is that something that you've heard murmurings of, or is
it I've heard little rumors running around. I don't really know yet. I hope so. I mean, like I said, I got my passport, I got everything ready. I'm just waiting on okay. You know, this weekend I am really gonna try to impress people. I'm kind of gonna just gotta show them what I can do or whatever, because I really like to do that.
Have you been to Japan before? You weren't one of the Shikara wrestlers that went to Big Japan, were you?
No, I could not afford it.
Okay, it was. I think a tour of Japan, like when you see all the different guys that went over to Dragon Gate over the years, like Jack Evans or Pac or El Generico, the Young Bucks. It's amazing the improvements they all go through when they come back from a tour, because you're just like wrestling every single night with the best wrestlers in the world. So you just can't help but improve. And I think if you got one of those tours, you'd just be coming back and it'd be insane. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that does come about. We just have a couple of quick questions I got to ask you from the people on the message boards have requested. So first thing, the name Ricochet, what are the origins of that? Is there any story behind this?
No, when I was going up training, I was actually trying to stick away from it. I really didn't want it. I just knew for some reason, I was like, I know this is going to be my name. I really didn't want it, but really it just came down to it, and I was like, there's really nothing else that I can, and I mean, it really just kind of suits my style, really, you know, so I said, I've got to have it, it just works.
I'll be honest, when I first heard your name talked about, I just heard it as opposed to actually seeing it written down. And as an Irishman, I was very happy to hear that there was an Irish wrestler out there called Rick O'Shea. Yeah, Rick O'Shea. Yeah. Yeah. I thought there was an Irishman holding it down in the U.S. Indies. But
I went by that. I worked at this little fan down here locally, and I was a heel at the time, and I actually did go by Rick O'Shea there for a little bit.
Brilliant.
Black Irish.
Nice. Next thing. Someone wants me to ask about, are you a big fan of Lucha? He thinks it's pretty evident in your style, and who would be some of your influences?
Lucha, yes. I honestly didn't really know much about Lucha until I started at Takara, and then Quack kind of just had a couple training sessions, and I just really, like, dove right in into, like, because I just liked how everything was so quick and speedy and, like, different types of maneuvers to get into different maneuvers, and then it's just so cool and quick. I thought it was awesome.
And would you say there's any, like, specific Lucha Mexican wrestlers that would stand out to you as some of your favorites to watch?
Honestly, Quack's one of my favorite ones. I know he's one of my favorites, and of course you got Jorge Rivera. He's also
a
guy that he's very good. Very good. Well, there's so many of them. There's a lot of them. I don't really know.
Okay, the other question was about Claudio, and I asked that already. So, Ricochet, we will leave it there, unless you have any plugs to throw out. Of course, as we've mentioned many times on the show already, this Saturday and Sunday, Chicago and Milwaukee, DGUSA.tv, get all your info for those shows. PWG, what was it, October 9th against Generico in Reseda, California.
Yeah.
I think Chuck Taylor's wrestling, I think, Johnny Goodtime on that show, and there's a big four-way for the title. I think that's going to be a hell of a show, so everyone check that out if you're in California. And, as I said, any other plugs you want to try out there? Anywhere where people can buy T-shirts or anything like that?
I'm actually in the process right now getting T-shirts made, so everybody get ready to get them, because it'll be awesome.
Nice, nice. So we will let us know when you have that going, and we will promote that here. But, Ricochet, thank you once again. Say thanks again to the Macho Man for joining us at the start of the show. And,
I'll tell him you said that.
It was a pleasure to have you, and good luck this weekend. I'm sure you're going to do absolutely awesome.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
No problem. See you. Take care. You can do in the hood. I done did it. That's why the dope boys and the misfits fill it. This still is city long as Tip living. Listen. I ain't dead. No, I ain't done. No, I ain't scared.
Till 2027, rather see me in a cell instead of this new McLaren. Gotta take you through hell just to get you to heaven. So even though it's heavy, the load I will carry, grin and still bear it, win and still share it. Apologies to the fans, I hope you can understand it. Life can change your directions, even when you ain't planning. All you can do is handle it, worst thing you can do is panic. Use it to your advantage, avoid insanity, manage to conquer every obstacle, make impossible possible. Even when winning's illogical, losing still far from optional. And yeah, they wanna see you shot up in the hospital, but when life don't punch, just block your counter like a boxer do. Been locked inside because it's too long. I did a song to make it known that the king lives on, pimpin'.
I ain't dead, no. Show you how to do what you do, you ain't got a clue. All you do is follow through.